Hi, I'm Piper.
And I'm Erin.
Welcome to Off the Tracks podcast, where we explore what it means to do law differently. Today's episode is in partnership with Lawbroker, legal's first customer experience platform powered by lawyers. Lawbroker is a recommendation and matching platform that helps drive new business to solo and small practices throughout Canada. With its mission to simplify the accessibility of legal services, Lawbroker has built a platform that mimics everyday consumer applications, bringing familiarity and convenience to the legal industry. As a lawyer, you make the first move, opening up an entirely new revenue stream for your practice, all while putting you in control of your own demand.
Today, we are joined by Amanda Doucette, otherwise known as the Tax Chick. Amanda is a tax partner with Stevenson, Hood, Thornton & Beaubier, LLP in Saskatoon. But she is also a blogger, podcaster, lover of spin class and Pilates, and a huge foodie. So we are definitely in good company here. How are you doing today, Amanda? Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Amanda, we are so excited you're here. Now, I know that Erin and I, you know, tax, maybe not our thing, not our vibe, maybe something that like is a little bit scary to us. How did this come to be? How did you like, how has your career evolved into becoming the tax chick and just being an expert when it comes to all of things tax?
Well, it took a few twists and turns. And I think if you had asked me in high school, in undergrad, even in law school, if I was going to be a tax lawyer, I probably would have laughed at you. And that would not have been what I would have expected. I have no background in business or tax or accounting or commerce, nothing like that. Never was an interest of mine. My mom was a bookkeeper, so I did grow up reconciling bank statements and doing those sorts of things at home. But I hate math. I still hate math. I hate spreadsheets. I just hate the whole thing. And so I was going to be a family law lawyer. My background and a lot of the work I did in my undergrad and in high school was around advocacy for kids in care, advocacy for kids in custody. And so family law was an interest of mine. And if not family, I thought, well, I'll do some civil litigation. And so I clerked for the Court of Appeal, so solely a litigation focus, and then went and worked for the firm and started doing family law and just hated it. I had a couple of files and I was just not, it was not feeding my soul. And around the same time, one of our senior associates had left. She had to move to Nova Scotia, actually, to be with her husband who gotten a job there. And she was doing tax litigation. And so the partner that was working with her, I can still see him. He came to my door. I can picture him. And he said, "Hey, I need some help. I have a trial coming up. Do you want to help me?" And I said to him, "I'm really bad at math. Is that okay?" And he said, "Yeah, it's fine. No worries." And that became my tax career. I loved it. Once I got into it, I realized that, you know, tax law and following the rules of the Income Tax Act, it's not that it's not about math. I mean, it is about math, but there's all these other pieces of it that I didn't really understand until I started practicing. There's a huge human rights piece. There's a huge access to justice piece and advocacy piece, especially on the litigation side. And I think also there's a real education piece, which is partly what I'm doing as the tax chick, where I realize that even though I don't have that background, I can still learn tax, I can still explain tax, and I can do complex tax planning for my clients. And so therefore, when my clients come to me and they've got this glaze over their face because they don't want to hear about it and they don't understand it, it gives me a bit of a unique perspective as to how I can explain things to them. Because I explain it to them the way I explained it to myself and the way I learned myself, which is often very different than the way that tax lawyers approach it. So that's a long answer to a short question.
We love it though. And I love that you just started off with being like, "I'm bad at math. Can I still do that?" Because that would absolutely be my first question. If someone walked in and said, "Hey, you want to help me with some tax issues?" I would say, absolutely not. I barely glossed over that in the bar exam and then mm-hmm. put that like to rest and never really looked at it again. So I just really enjoy hearing how you kind of got into it and went from, you know, not loving math to being the tax chick. So on that note, what led you to create the Tax Chick blog and podcast?
So I've been practicing now for, I guess, about 14 years. And for almost all the 14 years, my practice has had this component of tax to it. And I started realizing over the years that I was kind of adopting my own practice, my own way of doing things. And the firm I work for, to give you a bit of context, is probably one of the largest tax and corporate firms in Western Canada, ironically, even though we're not that big as a firm, but you know, we have a large number of lawyers who are trained in tax. And so therefore almost every file that we're touching has some tax aspect to it. And so a lot of them are complex estate planning work and succession planning work. And then we're doing corporate reorg planning. And then I've got this tax litigation piece. So I really have been deeply in the middle of it for quite some time. And I started out under the mentorship of one of the senior partners, which was a wonderful experience and really got me excited about it. But then as I got more senior, I started developing my own clientele and developing my own practice. And that was when I started realizing that I was approaching these topics differently than the way that other tax lawyers were approaching them. I love a good picture. I like to get onto a whiteboard and draw stuff because I think that that really resonates with people. And it was also really important to me that my clients understood what was going on and actually understood the risks that they were taking. And so the clientele that I was attracting was clientele that wanted to be actively involved in their files, as opposed to clients who are just like, save me the most tax possible. Here, deal with it. I don't want to hear from you. That's not my ideal client. And it's not that I can't save you a bunch of tax. That doesn't feed my soul. That doesn't bring me joy. I want to work with the clients that actually want to be engaged in the process. And so over the years, I kind of noticed this was happening. And I found that I was having different conversations with clients than perhaps my colleagues were. And I was fielding all these phone calls, like phone calls and emails every week from people who just couldn't afford my services, but they had really basic foundational tax questions that were good questions. And so I was repeating myself over and over again and sort of giving out all this pro bono legal advice, which was fine, but it got me thinking, is there a way that I could replicate this so that more people would have access to it? Because if someone doesn't know that they can call me or email me and ask the question, they're not going to get the information. And right around that same time is when COVID hit. And I had a lot of friends in the Saskatoon community here who were entrepreneurs, who were small business owners, who were just reeling from what was happening and all the government changes and all the programs. And they were exhausted and overwhelmed trying to find a space where they could learn about these things. And so that was kind of the catalyst for me to say, why don't I try something? And I started by trying the blog because I realized that I was sending out these little blurbs to everybody. And couldn't I just put them somewhere and then everybody could have them? And so the concept of the Tax Chick had come to me years before. I'd been in Toronto and I'd walked by a vehicle. It was a black vehicle. And the license plate said Tax Chick with the A missing. And I thought, that's cool. That kind of describes me because I'm not your typical tax lawyer. I'd love to know whose car that was because I'd like to be friends with that person. I have not found them yet. So if you're listening to this and you were the owner of that license plate, please phone me. And so when I incorporated my own management company later, when I made partner, I called it Tax Chick Management. Yeah. So my company is actually called that. I love stamping my corporate seal. It's sort of fun. And so the name was always there. And I thought, well, what could I call this that makes it more accessible to the public? I just don't want to say like Amanda Doucette Legal Services or something like that. I want it to be something that people think is fun. And so I called it the Tax Chick, thinking it wouldn't really stick, thinking nobody would really care. And I mean, now people are calling themselves tax chicks, right? It's like, you know, I'm a fellow tax chick. It's become like a phrase. I'm still waiting for my trademark registration to go through. So I started with the blog. And in the meantime, I'd had podcast equipment sitting in my basement for like a year because I'd kind of been fiddling with the idea of doing a podcast. I'd gone to this vegan retreat and, you know, met with an energy coach because I believe in all that woo-woo stuff. And she had told me that I was meant to create this like board of directors of this group of experts that were going to help the public and help the community. And so I started thinking, maybe this is a podcast. Like, maybe it's not a board of directors. And so I just decided to launch a podcast, and I didn't know what I was doing. Didn't think anyone would listen to it. And my focus was, I didn't want it to be a tax podcast like the other tax podcasts that are out there. There's no need for me to give a technical tax podcast. There's some great ones out there. I needed to give information for the general public, for the business owner, and then also for the other professionals, lawyers, advisors, et cetera, that just want to be able to issue identify. That was my focus. And so I embarked on the journey, and I'm still here today. I mean, it's become kind of a thing now, I guess. But it's been a really cool way to find other people who think the same way that I do. I've gotten to meet all these other tax professionals across the world that think about tax the way I think about tax. And that's been really valuable as part of this.
Wow. It's funny because I know that like tax is just, it's almost a bad word for a lot of people. Like I would go as far as to say, like, you say the word tax and there's a negative connotation in a lot of ways. And you have just spun it in a way that makes it accessible and makes it more engaging. And I was working my way through some of your excellent podcast episodes the past couple of days. And I'm slightly less overwhelmed by the information I received. I still have more to go. But something that's so great about the work that you do, Amanda, is, and as you've alluded to and mentioned, it's really rooted in like public legal education and mm-hmm. supporting people in their own knowledge journeys of becoming more informed in the world of tax. And Erin pointed something out to me as we were getting on this call. She thought how it was so great that on your website, and for anyone listening wanting to get their hands on all things the Tax Chick, we of course will be linking it in the show notes. But on Amanda's website, she has something called the roadmap, and it talks about like where to find episodes that are going to be most helpful for you within all of the amazing episodes the Tax Chick has released so far. And I think that that's just like your approach, not only to tax, but it's just clear that your approach to like everything is different and done with the purpose of making sure that people get the best information. And I just think that's awesome. I really do like have questions to ask you, but I just like, I'm so blown away by everything you do.
That's so sweet. That's so sweet. I think that access to education and access to justice, I mean, you are both lawyers. You get this. I think it's a problem worldwide, but I think we often focus on it in the criminal sphere or the family law sphere or immigration. It's not often thought about under the concept of tax. And I think that the tax issues can be just as terrifying and just as debilitating. And there really aren't those good sources of information. So I think it's just an offshoot of that.
No, absolutely. So Amanda, where do you suggest people really start when they're trying to make sense of tax planning or anything tax related to their business or personal assets?
That's a great question. I get that all the time. And it's hard to give a straight answer, but I think the one that I usually come back to is it starts with your advisors. So typically, if you're going to be a small business owner, you probably have somebody. You probably have a bookkeeper. You have an accountant, maybe. Maybe you've touched or come near a lawyer at some point in time. You really start with those people because as opposed to just handing something off and going, here, this is your problem, you know, take some time to have a conversation with them. Pick one new thing. It can be as simple as that. And if your advisory team is not wanting to explain things to you and they're not wanting to be active with you, then you need to find a new advisory team. And as blunt as that is, because good advisors will be happy to have the conversation with you. And then also, if you want to do more like self-directed learning, I've got some great options, not that I provide, but that others provide on my Linktree, which is hooked into my Instagram bio. So if you just go to @tax.chick in my Linktree link, I've got links to all of these resources. And there are some really awesome programs that are very either free or very, very low cost across the country that can help you with finance and cash flow issues, teach you the basics of bookkeeping. And the people that are running these programs, a lot of them are women entrepreneurs that are going to be very much about the education piece. I've taken a lot of the programs myself so that I can actually say here's the program and here's what I learned. These are things that you think might be overwhelming, but you can take them at your own pace. You've got a support person there. And the impact that it'll have on your business is huge, because now you'll actually know what you're looking at. You won't just sort of kind of close your eyes when you see your profit and loss statement and pretend that it's not there. So that would be my suggestion for a starting point.
Yeah, I'm like pursing my lips because this is like, I feel personally attacked that I look at my profit and loss statements and I'm like, all right, anyways, next month. Like, I don't, I'm a lawyer. I'm trained as a lawyer, but I still have no idea really about accounting and stuff. And that's why one of the first things I got was a bookkeeper, because I was like, this makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. And luckily my bookkeeper is amazing. And when I had my LSO spot audit, he was able to help me make sense of everything. So I'm like, I don't know what they're looking for. They want some info. Do we got it? You know,
but that is awesome.
It is something that, you know, as a business owner, it's almost been 2 years that I've been running my business. And it's definitely one of those things where it's like, I don't know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm even going to have to go onto this and check out some of your links, because I think that that would be really helpful for even lawyers who are out on their own and doing like their own solo work, or even if you're just working with solo entrepreneurs, that sort of clientele, that this would be really helpful as a resource to point your clients towards. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we will definitely link that in the episode notes.
Awesome. But
kind of like, zooming out, what is your favorite memory or one of your proudest moments of your career so far?
You guys had warned me about this question, and that was, it's a tough one. These are like those deep questions you get when you're applying for a job and they're like, if you'd be a tree, what kind of tree would you be? I used to always pick willow, right? Because it's like, it has a firm root, but it's like bendable and wavy. I thought that sounded good for employers. But I think when I look back at my life, the one time that kind of stands out for me from my legal career would be when I got my master's in tax, because I think that, I mean, I got it during a time in my life that was very difficult. My dad passed away very shortly after I started my master's journey. I was working full time. I was teaching at the university. I was trying to make partner. I was doing a master's. There was a lot going on. And then my dad passed away, and my dad had his PhD in anatomy and cell biology, and education was a huge piece of his life and something he always really encouraged. And he had made me promise when he passed away to keep going, like to not stop the master's. And so I was like back in classes like a week after he died, submitting papers and doing things, and sort of to go to that graduation and not have him there was very difficult. But at the same time, it was such an amazing accomplishment for me, because it was a master's in tax. Like, me who can't do math somehow managed to get a master's in tax. That was a really big moment for me on a personal level. And I think I did the master's for me. All of my other education I did to get a job, or I did it for somebody else. Nobody was making me do the master's. I did the master's for me and me alone. And so I think to have that experience where you've done something just for yourself, it's pretty monumental looking back.
Wow, Amanda, honestly, like a heartwarming story about your dad, like encouraging you to keep going. And then also you talking about really doing it for yourself. I'm so struck by that comment, because when I think about like the education that I've received so far and that so many of my friends and colleagues have received so far, it would be so interesting to ask someone, oh, do you think you got that education for yourself, or was there a different reason? And I've never thought of it framed that way. Yeah, I'm gonna like personally be simmering on that for a while, because I feel kind of like I've been like shot with a dart with that reframing. Okay, so Amanda, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? No, don't worry. I'm just kidding. We're not gonna make you answer that here. We're not gonna get too in depth. But we always love to sort of pair this idea of like a proud memory and proud moment with a setback, because I think like so often, the people that we invite on the podcast, obviously we think that they have really compelling stories to tell and have accomplished great things, but we kind of like to pull back the curtain sometimes and sort of show what maybe went on behind the scenes that, you know, was going on when people were achieving all of these things and making all of these different moves. So was there a time for you that was challenging as you built up your career and built up the tax check and so on and so forth?
There's kind of two time periods that stick out for me, and it kind of ties into sort of overall like mental health and wellness, which I think are buzzwords now in the legal community, and none of us are really all that good at, but we all try. But when I think back to kind of my first like 5-6 years as a lawyer, that was, of course, in the, you know, mid-2000s. Things were still very much about the billable hour. It was still very, very long hours. The concept of remote work or flex work was just not existent. And I was billing a ridiculous number of hours. I was trying to get trained up in tax. I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was crying a lot at home. And I ended up having a failed marriage and kind of had to pull myself out of that. And I think it was some of the lowest times for me because I was excelling in this one area of my life. But because of all the effort that I'd put into this one area of my life, it had this crazy ripple effect that was quite negative. For both my personal health, I ended up having some health issues along with the demise of my relationship, demise of some friendships. It was a bit of a blow up. And I kind of got myself out of that with therapy and fitness and meditation and just being really honest with myself and got to a place where I was able to be a bit more independent in my practice. So once I got to partnership, I mean, at that point, it's like, what are you going to do to me, right? I'm a partner. There's some, I don't know, freedom at that level. But I think the next time where I really felt this like cosmic, I don't know, shift in maybe a bad way was at the beginning of COVID. So just as I was like launching Tax Chick, I actually launched it from a time where I was quite fearful. And I was fearful because a majority of my practice at that time was tax litigation. Well, when COVID hit, the Tax Court of Canada shut down, CRA shut down for almost a year. There was no audits, there was no appeals, there was no collections activity. So like 90% of my work gone in an instant. And 90% of my planned billables, I had two major trials that were scheduled for the fall, gone. And I mean, you guys both work in that industry. You understand what it's like to have billables disappear. And I kind of had to reframe myself a little bit and say, what am I good at? You know, what are my skill sets? What else can I use my skill sets for? And that was really when I started not only embarking on Tax Check, but I also realized this other piece of what I was doing that I really enjoyed, which was the complex estate planning, was a burgeoning area because suddenly everybody was worried they were going to die. So all these people that you could not convince to get into an office to do a will suddenly wanted to do their wills. And there were a lot of people with big complex issues that they didn't know how to resolve, and I could help them. So that was probably the second time it happened.
Yeah, I think that it's always so interesting just to hear about how people sort of pulled themselves up through those really challenging times in their life. And thank you so much for sharing with us. And I think it's really helpful that, you know, once you've gone through it once, you can tell yourself and you can remind yourself that, you know, I've been through these tough times before and I can do it again. And I think the first time you kind of go through one of those cosmic shifts or, you know, really hard times, it's kind of hard to picture some happiness or a bright, you know, time on the other side of it. But, you know, as you get through it, even though it's terrifying, it doesn't make it less terrifying. I'm sure it was very terrifying when COVID hit, but you are able to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel and sort of hold on to that as you navigate through that. But when you think about your skills that got you through those more challenging times in your career, what stands out to you as your superpower? What helps you get through that?
I think one of my superpowers is communication. So I'm a super open communicator. And I believe that almost anything can be fixed by having a conversation. And so I'm the person that's not afraid to pick up the phone to have the conversation with somebody. And that has made a huge difference in my files, in the relationships that I have with others, in the referral relationships, all of those things. And has created, I think, a really wonderful sense of loyalty amongst my client base, which is wonderful. So I think that's probably one of the things. And the other one is that I'm super determined. Like I do not give up. And if something is hard and it's a challenge, then I'm just going to beat that challenge. And that's just the way that I am. And so when the chips are down, sometimes that's when I perform the best.
Okay. So Amanda, if you weren't a lawyer, if you weren't this tax chick connoisseur expert, what would you want to be doing? Because it seems like you're so multi-talented with all these transferable skills. Where would we be transferring them?
So I keep getting, I ask that question a lot as well. It's so funny. And I've really thought about it. I mean, I went to school to be a clinical psychologist and I was going to be a neuropsychologist because I'm really fascinated by the brain. Just growing up with my dad, we always had, you know, plastic brains sitting on the kitchen table and that was just like a thing, right? So for me, I think the study of the brain is fascinating. So I might've done that, but I think when I look at where I'm at now, if I wanted to sort of jokingly say what I would do if I could do anything, I would have my own show in the Food Network. And I'm thinking a little bit about doing Baking with the Tax Chick, like as a little like 5-minute thing on my Instagram, because I'm trying to somehow get people to not have that block when they hear it's a tax forum. And sometimes people won't even follow me. Like they think I'm like the government and I'm going to make them pay their taxes. They won't follow me. They won't look. And I thought, well, how can I do that? Well, I love to bake. I've taken all the Wilton cake courses so I can do the 3-tiered cakes and all that kind of stuff. Maybe I could do little 5-minute segments and I would really love to have my own show in the Food Network. I'm obsessed with the Food Network. I have had it on since it started. It's always on in my house and I think it would be really fun. So that's my pipe dream.
That's so funny because there is this, you mentioned veganism earlier, and I'm not sure if you're vegan, but there's this vegan blogger who I follow named Erin Ireland, and she lives in Vancouver, and she almost daily posts cooking or baking stories. Mm. And sometimes they're really long, sometimes they're really short on her Instagram. And when I tell you that I'm almost like a baby who needs a lullaby with these Instagram stories, like I need her cooking stories to soothe me to sleep tonight. I'm not sure that that is the best way to go to sleep at night, or like best for like my screen time right before bed. Mm-hmm. But there's something very soothing about that. So maybe if you create these Baking with the Tax Chick videos, it will become like my next nighttime lullaby. And it's something I greatly look forward to. So I highly encourage that. No, that's awesome.
I love that. I also, this is just a very random story to add in, is that when I was little, I used to like talk to myself in the car and pretend that I was a host on a TV show. And like that I was hosting like these cooking shows and like having guests on my TV show. And my mom like loves to remind me of that. Cause I would just be like, and anyways, so here we have so-and-so coming to like make us a treat. And I would just be talking to myself in the back of it. And I like vividly remember this, like looking out the window, pretending like I was talking on a talk show. So maybe I can like come and host and live out my like childhood dreams of hosting a little talk show and you can bake and Piper can also come and fall asleep to the videos.
Well, because I'm pretty sure that there's some technology that lets us do this by Zoom so that you could be coming right into my kitchen from where you are. I think the technology exists that we could have you on as a guest.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So how do you take care of your mental health? I know, big question, but we always love to hear how others, you know, manage to take care of themselves while, you know, pursuing all of these interesting career paths.
Well, I think ironically that all the tax chick stuff has actually been a huge help to my mental health. And I think when you're practicing in an area or you're working in a job that's not feeding your soul, that has a direct impact on your mental health. And you can do anything else you want in your spare time. I mean, you can meditate for 5 hours a day and it's not going to make a difference. And so for me, when I created the tax chick and really started living my practice in the way that I am, I don't see a separation between the tax chick and my daily practice. I used to say it was like my alter ego. It's not. It's really who I am. Then I found I got a lot more joy out of my day. And I actually really, really love the creative aspect of tax chick. So I do all my own editing of my podcast. And I really enjoy that. And I enjoy the creation of the posts and I enjoy writing and all of those things. Like they're like a creative outlet for me. So that's really positive. I love spin class. I love Pilates. We just got a reformer in our house. So that's pretty awesome. So my husband and I take classes. It was our big purchase for ourselves. And so I really, really love that. And I love to cook and bake. It's a huge stress reliever. So I think it's about finding joy every single day and surrounding yourself by people that bring you joy. And so I think that I have less friends maybe now than I did in my 20s, but they're good, solid friends that are there for you, that, you know, they don't take your points for the day. They don't take your energy. They're people that are there for you in good and there for you in bad. And my husband is amazing as well. He's a super positive person. He's always down for a laugh, and he really helps, I think, to keep me from being so serious all the time, because I tend to be a very serious person. So I think we balance each other out. And so I just love hanging out with him because he creates, I think, a better version of me.
Oh, that is so sweet. That is adorable. Okay. My heart is melting, but thank you so much for sharing that. And I also love the idea of a at-home reformer. That is so cool. You know, spin bikes, they've been done. Reformers are in. Okay.
You heard it here first. Every day. It's amazing to have one like right there. If you just need a good stretch, or if like you wake up and your back's kind of wonky, it's like right there. There's nothing quite like having it.
Do you like on-demand classes, or do you like self-lead?
Oh no, I don't self-lead there. Like, okay. I know my lane and I stay in it, and it's not Pilates. We actually have private lessons that we do over Zoom by a teacher that used to teach at one of the studios here that have closed at the end of COVID. Extremely reasonable price. She zooms right into our basement. She's lovely. And then she makes sure I don't do anything, you know, stupid that I'm going to hurt myself.
That is excellent. Okay, well, thank you so much. We could honestly just keep talking to you all evening, but we love to finish the podcast with the same question, which is, what is something new that you've learned recently?
Something new that I've learned recently. Oh, well, I think, let me think about this. This is tough. Oh, I know. I just learned how to fix something on my website. That is a new thing that I have learned just this past week. I figured out on my website for my podcast how to add a page and do a link, which before I was just kind of avoiding because I didn't really know how to do it. So I finally, you know, got on the help function, figured it out, and was very proud of myself. That's what I learned in the last week.
I know all about avoiding website changes and backend changes. I have this notebook that's just lists. Like, it's literally called lists. And I have the same bullet point on like the past four pages about something that I need to do on the back end of my webpage. And I wrote down as a goal for this evening, I wrote this down 2 days ago, make new whatever thing on my website. And then I go, this will improve your life. Really just trying to motivate myself to do it. So I completely understand what you're talking about. And I think that that's a really good thing to learn. I need to go learn it myself tonight. But Amanda, this has been such an absolute joy and such a like an injection of energy into our day. So thank you so much for joining us. Everything you need to know about Amanda and the Tax Chick is linked in the show notes. And for anyone staying up to date with us, follow us on Instagram at Off the Tracks Podcast, and stay tuned for our season finale coming next Tuesday.
Thank you again to our partner, Lawbroker, legal's first customer experience platform powered by lawyers. To learn more, visit lawbroker.com and see how you can join the movement to become a modern lawyer.